Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for our daily magazine show, As It Is, and other programs designed for English learners.
Hello and welcome back to the program that helps you learn American English. I'm George Grow in Washington. Each day, we present interesting stories from around the world. We always speak slowly and use words that are easy to understand. Today, we talk about really hot weather in India. By Thursday, the extreme heat was blamed for at least 1,400 deaths. Later on the show, we tell about a proposal to reduce tensions in the South China Sea. Listen carefully and save the program as a podcast so you can practice speaking American English whenever you have a chance. Now, on to part one. Unusually hot weather is affecting people across large parts of India. As we hear from Anne Ball, temperatures reached and even topped 46 degrees Celsius.
Indians who had a choice stayed inside buildings or at home to escape the killer heat, but tens of thousands of people did not have that choice. Many of them are employed as construction workers, taxi drivers, and street vendors who make a living by selling goods to passers-by. Shaibaz Qureshi drives an auto rickshaw in the city of Hyderabad. He says the weather is a problem, but if he stops working, he will not be able to earn money. The number of heat-related deaths has climbed over the past week. Most of the deaths have been reported in the states of Andhra Pradesh and Telangana. That is where the highest temperatures were recorded. YK Reddy is a weather expert and the head of the meteorological department in Hyderabad. He told VOA this is the worst heat wave to hit the area in nearly 10 years. High temperatures are common in India in May and June. Dry winds blowing from the southwest have intensified the heat recently all across northern and central India. The hot weather has reached the capital, New Delhi. A national newspaper showed a picture of street tar and paint melting on the stripe markings of a walkway. Sunil Kumar Aledia is with the Center for Holistic Development in New Delhi. He says homeless people are the most at risk from the extreme heat. He says these men and women usually spend the night in government shelters during the winter months, but they get no break from hot weather at this time of year. Mr. Aledia says the shelters are usually cabins or tin structures, and in the summer they are only 10% full. He says this is because they lack electric fans, coolers, or drinking water facilities. So they become very hot. Officials in the worst affected states advise people to stay inside buildings during the afternoon when temperatures are the highest. They also say people should drink plenty of fluids and not go outside without a hat. In some places, doctors were told to cancel their leave plans because hospitals had so many cases of heat stroke. Many taxis in Indian cities operate without air conditioning equipment. In Kolkata, Two taxi drivers died from heat stroke last week. Their deaths led labor unions to tell taxi drivers that they could turn down passengers in the afternoon. The arrival of monsoon rains could offer some help from the oppressively high heat. But the worst affected states may not get an early break. That is because the rains get to the south and west of India first, before arriving in the northern and eastern plains. I'm Ann Ball.
You are listening to The Voice of America, and we are coming to you from Washington. Taiwan's president has offered a plan to ease tensions in the South China Sea. Ma Ying-jeou announced the plan on Tuesday. It calls for cooperation among governments that claim all or parts of the sea. Kelly Jean Kelly has more.
Mr. Ma proposed the peace plan at an Asia-Pacific research conference in Taipei. He appealed to those with claims to the South China Sea to end their territorial disputes and work together on resource exploration.
We emphasize that while sovereignty cannot be divided, resources can be shared, thereby replacing sovereignty disputes with resources sharing.
The South China Sea is said to be rich in oil, natural gas, and fisheries. The plan suggests that no nation take action on its own that could increase tensions. Taiwan and five other governments claim the 3.5 million square kilometer South China Sea. The sea stretches from the south coast of Taiwan to Singapore. Tensions have increased over the past year, and especially over the past few weeks, partly because of Chinese territorial claims to the area. China has taken steps to enlarge and develop several coral reefs. Observers say the development could be useful for China's armed forces. Last week, the Chinese government made an official protest to the United States after an American spy plane flew over one small island in the South China Sea. U.S. officials say the American planes are gathering intelligence about the development of the islands. They say the flights are happening in international airspace, which China does not control. Japan has also grown more active as it competes with China over rights to the East China Sea. In July, Japan will send 40 troops to a military exercise with the United States and Australia. It will be the first time Japanese soldiers have taken part in such an exercise. The Japanese government has also offered defense aid to Vietnam and the Philippines. Those two countries, and China, Taiwan, Brunei, and Malaysia, claim all or parts of the South China Sea. Mr. Ma's plan would establish systems to let different countries use the sea for humanitarian assistance, environmental protection, and aid for disasters. In 2012, he proposed a peace process for settling disputes in the East China Sea, parts of which are claimed by Taiwan, China, and Japan. VOA spoke to Joanna Lei about Mr. Ma's plan. She leads the Chenghua 21st Century think tank in Taiwan.
It is the least a president can do and should do. If everybody else discuss regional events and interests, at least you should stake your coin.
The announcement on Tuesday demonstrates Mr. Ma's Nationalist Party's foreign policy experience to Taiwanese voters. Elections are to take place in January. The Chinese government claims control of Taiwan. It has used its economic influence to ask that other countries avoid actions that would make Taiwan appear to be independent. I'm Kelly Jean Kelly.
And I'm George Grow in Washington. Thank you for spending some time with us today. You are listening to The Voice of America.
Coming up, more programs designed for English learners. You can read and listen to our reports and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
The United States Senate recently passed a measure called Trade Promotion Authority. Under the bill, the Congress can only vote for or against a trade agreement once it has been negotiated. This ability to fast-track such agreements would be important when Congress considers possible trade deals with Asian and Pacific countries and also Europe. But the issue of free trade can fuel a debate about U.S. jobs. Many labor unions and Democratic Party members support a little-known federal program for American workers. It is called the Trade Adjustment Assistance Program. It provides financial assistance to those who lose their jobs because of increased foreign competition. Conservatives say the program is ineffective and costs too much. However, a former steel worker who spoke with VOA says the program works and should be expanded. Michael Smith worked at the Bethlehem Steel Mill in Sparrows Point, Maryland. The mill was once a major producer of steel. It employed as many as 30,000 Americans. Mr. Smith was a crane operator for Bethlehem Steel for 13 years. Recently, he returned to the grounds.
I remember what this place used to be. I remember the sights, the sounds, the tractors. It's actually hard physically standing here. I mean, my heart hurts.
The mill closed in 2012. As a result of a series of business decisions and increasing global competition. That left Mr. Smith and 2,500 mill workers with no jobs and few marketable skills.
I was blessed enough to find a program called TRA and TAA, which is a union bargain benefit that was provided to us.
The TAA program gave Mr. Smith a weekly stipend. He used his retraining assistance to pay for books and school tuition fees. He recently completed his college studies and graduated with a bachelor's degree in psychology. Michael Smith's experience with the program was good. However, many conservatives say TAA is wasteful and ineffective. Dan Eikenson studies trade policies for the Cato Institute Research Group. He says that for every job lost to trade, 30 jobs are lost for other reasons. He spoke to VOA on Skype.
My first question is, why should we treat people who lose jobs or can tie their job loss in some way to trade any differently than we treat other people who lose their jobs?
Dan Eikenson says trade creates more winners than losers. Instead of government aid, he says, manufacturers are better equipped to retrain displaced workers. The Senate voted to extend the $400 million program as part of a fast-track bill to speed pending free trade deals with Pacific countries. The House of Representatives has yet to vote on the trade legislation.